Blog Talk Radio.
You in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and of course good spirits. As for us, we are doing just fine. Each and every day we have the opportunity to do what? Get up in the morning, breathe some air, and move on to that next challenge, or in some cases go back to those challenges that we didn't take care of yesterday or the day before yesterday. Well, again, as you already know, that's something we need to work on. We need to plan our work and work our plan. We need to have an attitude of success and an attitude that is positive for success, and understand that there's some things that come up that we have to do, even though we may not really want to do them, but those things still have to be done as we move forward and try to create a life worth living. Today we're going to talk about the ABCs of business, and we all need to know them. We all need to know the ABCs of business, because without the ABCs, of course, there's more letters in there, but without the ABCs, we're really hurting ourselves. And we're hurting ourselves and hurting our ability to actually have success. The ABCs of business that you need to know. Every business wants to find the keys to success. All right? That's true. All of us want to find success. All of us want to be happy. All of us want to live our dreams. However, most of us don't participate in the activities that are going to bring that want, that desire, and that need to fruition. Why? Because we've got, in some cases, it's stinking thinking. In some cases, it's not having faith in yourself. In some cases, it's hanging out with the wrong people. In some cases, it's making poor choices. In some cases, it's not managing your business correctly or managing your life correctly. You know, when I listen to some of the great motivational speakers and experts in certain areas of business, finance, religion, relationship, self-improvement, self-development, and, of course, other particular areas like finance, all right, like management, like leadership, you know, they all seem to hit on certain points. And I don't care who you are today, each and every one of us continue to hit these points, except we're not hitting them the correct way. We're not learning from the experiences of other people that have come before us to actually make it better. Now, the reason that I say that is because as we're developing and growing and maturing, what we're supposed to be doing is not only learning from our mistakes, our shortfalls, and the different things that have happened or the errors that we've made, but we also need to take into account those people that have made certain errors before us. I mean, I don't really think that I have to tell anyone to not put their hand over a hot stove on a fire, because they're going to get burned. Now, they're going to get burned because somebody else has experienced that. And if a person hasn't experienced it and they see somebody else experiencing it, then they learn from that person's experience. Some of us are a little hard-headed, and we seem to just have to learn by actually experiencing it. But my whole thing is, why go through that? Why have to, you know, have somebody beat it into your head when you can see that the lesson has already been expressed to you? You don't necessarily have to experience that lesson to appreciate what you can learn by observing, listening, or following someone else that is giving you correct, good and timely information. You know, that's another thing I think that we also need to remember too. Sometimes the information that people have given us, it may not be timely. It may not be applicable anymore because times change. You know, they used to think that the world was flat, okay? That particular information or knowledge is no longer applicable because it's been proved wrong. So that's something that you need to consider if you're going to try to go across the country. The world isn't flat. You're not going to fall off or any of those things. And I know that's a real simple dramatization, and people laugh when I say stuff like that. But, you know, when it comes to our learning, when it comes to our development, sometimes it's really that simple as to you understanding whether something is applicable or viable or something isn't applicable or viable. You know, what is that old saying, even a broken clock is right twice a day as long as it's got hands? Well, we have to take everything with a grain of salt and understand that, again, we evolve. You know, if somebody was to tell you 400 years ago that man would fly, they would have looked at you like you were crazy unless you knew Da Vinci. But for the most part, and actually they thought Da Vinci was crazy, but for the most part, now flying is a common thing. Traveling to the moon, it's not a common thing, but it's been done. If somebody says it to you, you can believe that it happens. All right. At one time, they thought that there would be no cure for a lot of the diseases that there are now cures for. And there's diseases that we have now that people are dying of, and one day there will probably be a cure for them. However, that will only happen if some of us learn from the mistakes of others while we're making our mistakes and improve so that you don't make the same mistake. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing and expecting a different result. Well, that's very true. But also there are some things that take time. Relationship building takes time. Trust takes time. You know, in order for steel to get a certain strength, you know, there's certain processes that you have to go through to strengthen that steel or to strengthen that metal. And it's the same thing for life. Anyway, every business says that they want to be on top, that they want to be the creme de la creme of what it is that they do. Well, those of us that are students of history and students of our lives, we know that it's a process. And it's a process that you're going to have to go through and you're going to have to work on pretty much every day of your life. But we also know from people like Stephen Covey, John Maxwell, Napoleon Hill, Jim Rohn, and others, that there are ways that you can take shortcuts, that sometimes even while you look back in history, you're actually working on your future. And how are you working on your future? Because you're taking that knowledge that was shared, you know, 100 years, 1,000 years, 2,000 years ago, and you're looking at it with a different context. And when I say that, I'm talking about the sense of, I know a lot of people are thinking, well, what does this have to do with the ABCs of business? What this has to do with the ABCs of business is taking that old knowledge, applying it to your present situation, and then adjusting it so that it fits, or throwing out the old bath water because it's no longer any good. But it's making the necessary changes and adjustments so that you can obtain the level of success that you want to obtain, so that you can live the type of life that you want to live. You know, there's a lot of things that are in our history and in our past that could be critical to our future and our future success. So, again, I just want to make sure that I cover that sufficiently before we go on. Okay, now, as I was saying, everybody wants to get to the top. So if that's true, then what we need to do is that we need to use the ABCs of business and the same ABCs of life to our benefit, and also understanding that if we keep an open mind and keep working slowly but surely towards our ultimate goal, then we're going to get where we need to go. However, we need to remember that success is not a straight line. So the first thing that I want to talk about is, in your business, if you're going to have a successful business, then you have to figure out what your ranges are, what your goals are. And one of the things that's critical about that is something called a BEP. Now, what is a BEP? A BEP stands for B is for break, E is for even, and P is for point. So it's a break-even point. What is a break-even point in your business? What a break-even point is in your business, just like anything, is a point to where you're now making money. You're now showing a profit. You're now getting results. And this also applies to if you were trying to get in shape. You know, there's a certain plateau, a certain level that you need to get past so that you can now start to create benefits. And as you create, once you get past that, now you're breaking even. Now you're at the point to where you're actually gaining some mobility. You're gaining progress. Think of it in the sense of, let's say you have a restaurant. Okay, you have a restaurant, and you know that in order for your restaurant to make money, you have to have a minimum of 10 people that come through your door. On average, on your 10th customer for the day, you'll break even. So that means you're not losing any money and you're not gaining any money. You're at your break-even point. So when you opened up that day, in order for you to operate, you needed to have a certain amount of customers that come in, and based on what you sell and all of that stuff, that amount of customers coming in and actually being active participants in what you offer or sell by buying products or buying services, that number usually makes it where you're a break-even point. So for most of us that have businesses and most of us that are looking to grow and develop, when you get that 10th person or whatever that number is for you or whatever the number of product is that you have to sell or services that you have to render, once you hit that break-even point, everything after that is now money in your pocket, all right? So now you've paid all your bills as far as what you need to function for that day so that you don't lose any money. And I'm talking about what you've invested, what it costs you to cut the lights on, have the water run, have the toilets flush, all of that stuff, pay your employees. So everybody that's in business, when that 11th or 12th or 13th customer comes in, you should be the happiest person on the planet. Why? Because you've passed your break-even point. Every customer after that certain number, whatever that number is for you, is somebody that is actually growing your business. There's somebody that's putting money in your pocket. So if your dream is to buy a Lamborghini, that person is now giving you what you need to start putting a down payment on that Lamborghini, because that's now money that's plus what your expenditures are and your overall costs. So that's what a break-even point is. If you were to look at it in a fitness realm, your break-even point would be enough push-ups or enough sit-ups or enough walking enough miles to where now you're gaining muscle. All right, you're not just you're once you pass that break-even point, now you're building the muscle, and now the muscle is starting to develop. It's starting to become stronger. So the same thing for a break-even point. Your business is now starting to get stronger because you're earning a profit. And if we're earning a profit, we're a lot happier than if we're not earning a profit. And breaking even is a whole lot better than losing, all right, losing profit and eventually, of course, losing your business. So BEP is your break-even point. Now, the next point that I want to talk about is your CAC. Now, what is a CAC? Your CAC is your customer acquisition cost. This is truly huge. It's huge because your customer acquisition cost is what does it cost you to get a customer? And this is one that really loses a lot of people because there's two factors to this, or two really important things that a lot of people don't consider. So your cost to get a customer is how much money do you have to put out to actually generate business? How much money, how much effort, how much quality do you have to put out in order for you to get business? So this is another reason why you want to put out quality. Why? Because that word of mouth from the level of quality will bring you more business. You know, and I'm talking about, you know, your advertising, your customer service, your friendliness, your cleanliness. All of those things add to your customer acquisition, but you need to get that person in the door originally. And then from that, you can either grow or you can actually end up losing customers. But customer acquisition is your cost. So how much is it costing you? Did you have to buy flyers? You know, did you get a TV spot? Did you get a radio spot? You know, are you using mobile marketing? You know, are you using Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn? And are you using videos? You know, do you have YouTube videos out? What is all of these things costing you? Because also understand that even sometimes when you don't have a hard cost, you have a cost in time. You have a cost in manpower. And what's the most expensive asset that you have? Your time. Why? Because you can't really negotiate it. You can't get any of that back. So when I talk about your CAC, I'm talking about the acquisition cost that you need to have in what it's costing you per customer. Here's another thing that really plays into this. Getting a customer is usually 10 times more expensive than actually keeping a customer. And that's where a lot of us drop the ball. That's where a lot of us fall off, because we do a whole lot of work to get a customer. However, some of us are losing customers quicker than we're getting them. Also, we're not truly making our customers feel like assets and feel like partners and feel like, you know, people that we have respect for, and that's causing them to not bring us more customers. So customer acquisition is huge. You have to get customers to survive. However, one of the other very, very important things of this whole process is keeping the customers that you have. Now, how do you keep the customers that you have? You do that by social media. You do that by finding different ways to communicate and to bring more people into it and to get them to share the quality, the service, the ambiance, all of those different things that make your business great to them. But you need to work on that, and you need to work on developing that relationship. A lot of people don't seem to understand that we don't live in the old type of marketing environment that we used to live in. You know, back in my mother's days and my mother's mother's days, pretty much the media threw out at you whatever it was that they wanted you to buy, and then you went out and bought it. And it was really that simple. You know, you didn't really have a whole lot of choices. Well, today, in 2013 plus, you have a plethora. You have a ton of choices. You know, there's another Avon lady right next door. There's another Chinese restaurant, Japanese restaurant, Italian restaurant right down the street. There's another discount store or store right across from you. You know, there's other businesses that are also competing for that dollar, for that client and customer's dollar. So you have to be above board. You have to provide a service that is so amazing that people rave about you today just to stay in business. Because if you're just meeting their needs, you're failing your customers. You're not producing the level or quality of service that you need to make those customers become what I call evangelists, people that love your product and love your service and love you so much that they become your marketing force. They become the people that are bringing in more and more people to your environment. And today it's really odd. And the reason that I say it's odd is because customer service as a whole is terrible. I mean, there's a lot of places that have horrible customer service. You know, I mean, they talk a good talk, but in reality, and they don't really perform. And that's why some businesses and some organizations have made stellar jumps in how they do business and in the fact of their profits. Why? Because they're adding that interaction. They're adding that personal touch. They're making people feel wanted. They're making people feel like they're part of the organization. They're making people feel as though they're valuable, as if they're wanted, and if their business is appreciated. And that's what each and every one of us has to do if we want to be successful. So we talked about BEP, break-even point. We talked about customer acquisition, correct? And we talked a little bit about the fact that the customers that you have are your most invaluable asset, and you need to continuously work on creating a relationship with them and a positive relationship with them so that they want to come and see you more and more. Again, what's more advantageous to you, a customer that comes once a year or a customer that comes 12 times a year? What's more advantageous to you, a customer that comes once a month or a person that comes 3 or 4 times a month? I mean, let's be honest. Let's say you're a rep company and you have a customer that comes once a year to get their carpets cleaned. Imagine how much you would increase your business, and this is for any business, if you could get that customer to come 4 more times out of the year. You know, regular cleanings. Well, most of that, the way that you're going to be able to do that is by educating your client and giving them the information, not be bogus information, but true information to allow them to then make the proper decision, but informing them, being an educator, being someone that's sharing great information with those customers. So now that moves us to the next thing. The next thing is the 80-20 rule or Pareto principle and applying it. What's the Pareto principle? Well, the Pareto principle says that 80% of your problems will come from 20% of your customers. Also, 80% of your success will come from 20% of your customers. A lot of us waste a lot of time on customers that are never going to come more than once, customers that are never going to appreciate our services. However, we need to treat them all fairly. We need to treat them all consistently, but we also need to recognize where we need to put our time. Our time needs to be on that 20% of the market, your market, that is actually going to do business with you 80% of the time. Most of us waste our time on that 80%. We spend all of this time searching on Facebook and Twitter and all these other different things, sending out flyers, sending out mailers, all these things trying to bring in new clients, and we're not truly optimizing the clients that we have. We're not truly optimizing the individuals that are presently giving us their trust, giving us their money, and giving us their patronage by coming to our establishments or using our product. Every customer that comes into your shop needs to be a valued customer. Those customers that come into your shop or generate more revenue for your organization, they need to be given a little bit more. Why? Because they're giving you a little bit more. They're giving you more of their trust. They're giving you more of their patronage. They're giving you more of their money. They're giving you more of their time. They're actually investing in you, so you need to also invest in them. So that's where the 80-20 rule breaks out. So for this particular scenario, what I'd like you to do is make a little pie chart and figure out where the majority of your money is coming from, where the majority of your customers are actually providing your service and who they are, and then find ways to spend more time in those quadrants, in those sections, because that's going to help your bottom line. And what happens? By helping that group grow, you help the entire group grow. So it's not really that you're treating the 80% badly, but by growing with the 20%, you're actually even able to provide better service to the 80% and the 20%, but also still making that 20% feel valued. So you've got VIP clubs that you can use. You've got other coupons that you can do. You can do specials. You can do awards. You can do things to show all of your customers that they're appreciated. But, again, quantitating it and looking at it in the sense of how can I help those that are helping me? Because guess what? Every one of your clients is part of your success story. So you need to treat them like they're part of your success story. You need to treat them like they're part of your team. And you need to make sure that your staff also knows that they're part of the team, and that by them helping you succeed, they also succeed. A lot of times there's a disconnect within how that works. So that's applying the Pareto principle, taking the 20-80 rule, finding that 20% that's generating that 80% of your business, and then actually spending more time in those quadrants so that you can make your business even better. Another one that I want to talk about is principles to business. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to, as you always hear me say, we need to talk the talk and walk the walk. We need to be people of character. We need to be people of substance. We need to keep our words. We need to do what the heck we say we're going to do, and we need to try to over-deliver and under-promise. Now, when I say under-promise, I don't mean you under-promise as in you cut back on stuff, but what I'm saying is that each and every day we need to be trying to raise the bar ourselves. We need to be trying to get better ourselves. We need to constantly be trying to educate ourselves and educating our clients. We need to constantly be trying to better ourselves and better our clients, not forcing anything down their throats, but offering them the information so that they can do what they already are going to do. They're grown. However, if we give them better choices, then guess what? They're going to make better decisions. We can't give them everything because that's impossible and nobody knows what another person wants. But, you know, it's kind of like something that I learned from Dr. Ivan Meisner. He talked about the rule of treat everyone as you would want to be treated. Well, how about treating everyone as they want to be treated? The problem is again, is that I don't know how, nobody knows how I want to be treated. Ask your customers, interact with them. Remember what I said about today's market. We no longer live in a world, I mean, unless you got a contract, don't get me wrong, and then you still need to try to exceed that without crossing any lines. But we all want the best. Sometimes you need to let people know that what you're giving them is the best in a tactful way. Sometimes you need to let people know that compared to the guy down the street, you are giving them a phenomenal deal without being arrogant. Sometimes you need to ask your clients, what is it that you can do to raise the bar? What is it that they see that's missing? Your staff. Your staff are constantly interacting with your customers. Your staff are a key foundation to your success, just like they can also be a key foundation to your destruction when it comes to business. So, again, it's a partnership, okay? Remember, you were born dependent. You worked hard to get independent, all right? But most of us fail to ever become interdependent. And what is interdependent? Interdependency is getting other people to buy in, to understand that by them helping you, you can help them, and by you helping them, they can help you. It's that cohesive give and take. It's that relationship part that many of us forget. A lot of us, as we're going through our elevations, as we're going through our seasons in life, as we're going through our stages of development, we drop the ball. And again, I understand that each and every person is busy. I understand that each and every person has 1,001 things going on. However, are the things that you have going on giving you the results that you need? Because maybe some of those things that you have going on, you need to let them go. Maybe some of those things that you have going on are not serving you, serving your customer, or serving the purpose in which you ultimately want to develop to and succeed to. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, if you want success, then you have to do what's necessary. Sometimes it's going to be hard. Sometimes it's not going to be a walk through the park. Sometimes you're going to have to do a little bit more work than you really want to do. But understand that, which would you rather be? Would you rather work really hard for 20 years or suffer for 40, 50, 60? What are you willing to give up for success? Because everything is a give and take, everything. So in order for you to truly have success, there's certain things that you have to be able to do and be willing to do and understand that there's going to be sacrifices because you can't do everything. But are you doing the right things? And if you're doing the wrong things, are you willing to give them up to do the right things? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's pretty much what I had to talk about today. Again, BEP, break-even point. EAC, customer acquisition costs. The 20-80 rule, or Pareto's rule, all right, as in 20-80 of your business, principles to business, and also educating, developing, and growing. Again, I'm going to say this again for everybody that's in business. If you're not using social media and if you're not using text message mobile media marketing, you are missing the bus. You are truly missing the bus. So take a moment. Take some time, listen to what I'm saying. If you got any questions about mobile or text message mobile media marketing, please feel free to send me a text or email or whatever on the Zurian Show. And if you like our show, please share it with everybody in the upper left-hand corner of the show. You can also share and let us know that you like the show and that you're getting something out of it. Again, this is Zurian of the Zurian Show. Thank you very much. And again, please continue listening, because when you stop listening, all I'm doing is talking to myself. Take care.